Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Masalam Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Satnam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanyan Wasayake. Hello, may everything be well with you as it is with me. Welcome to Monday's Shir in Neil Sabatian Post Lurianic Kabbalah. And I'm glad you're here, those who are here. Good to see you. And welcome as well to those who are listening on the rebroadcast or have downloaded this off our website as an MP3 file. Okay. And now, before we start today's shir, this evening's shir, I will recite the Kaddish for the dead and the mourners of the dead. So please close your eyes and think of someone who you knew who has passed away. And in doing so, you'll bring them into your consciousness and honor them with the light of your own consciousness. Yiskudal v'yishkadash me'rabo, bomo divero kirase, v'yamlik melkase, b'kaya kon uvyo makon, uvkaya dekol beis Yisrael, b'agalo uvizman koryev ve'imru, amen. Yehesh me'rabo mavorak, le'alam ule ome omayo, yisparak v'yistabak, v'yisparar v'yisramam, V'yis nasei, v'yis hadar, v'yis alev, v'yis halal, sh'meidu kadsho berku, le'elo minkol berkaso, v'sharoso, tushbekoso, v'nekamoso, da'amaron be'omo, de'imru, amen. Yehe shlamo, rabo min shamayo, v'kayim ulenu, ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru, amen. Vosei shalom bimramov, huyashay shalom, alenu ve'al kol Yisrael, the Imru, Amen. Thank you very much. Now, we've been talking about this statement, that this remarkably profound statement that God makes to Moshe up on God's mountain before the burning bush. And this voice that comes out of this fire that's burning in the bush but yet does not consume it says, Eheyah asher eheyah, I am, blessed am I. So we've been talking about that and the fact that it's a palindrome. And we went on to discuss the fact that all palindromes are verbal mirrors. That is, that each end is a reflection of the other. And I want to talk a little more about that today. Now, every mirror image, okay, we're going to talk about this mirror thing, okay? Every mirror image consists of three elements. There's a source of light, a reflecting surface, and a reflected image. So the light comes from somewhere, off of an object that reflects it, or directly out of a source that emanates the light, and it strikes, these photons that are light, strike the surface, a reflective surface, which is the mirror, and they cause a reflection of that light, which forms an image, a reversed image, an image that's in reverse of the object or the source which sent the light. Okay, the reflecting surface is an interface that links together and forms a bond or relationship between the source of light and the reflected image. So long as the source of the light stands before the interface, then the image will be produced. So there's a relationship through that interface, that link, that forms a bond or relationship between the source of light and the reflected image. So let's look at God's statement and identify these three component parts in terms of what we have just said. So the statement is, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, I am, blessed am I. Okay, so what's the source of light? The source of light is the first occurrence of the word Eheyeh. There are two Eheyehs, one at the beginning and one at the end, and in between is a share. Okay, so the first occurrence of Eheyeh is the source of light. It's the revealed God in the form of the ten holy Sephirot. Or another way of looking at it, if you want to be more particular than that, is to say it's Keter Elyon, the crown most high, the first Sephira, the first of the ten Sephirot. But in reality, it's all ten, because all ten are the Godhead. And God reveals himself through the Godhead, through those ten attributes of the ten holy Sephirot. So the source of light in the statement, Eheyeh, is the word Eheyeh. That's the source of light. And Eheyeh, in fact, is the name of God that's assigned to Keter, to the first Sephira, Keter. Okay, so the first occurrence of the word Eheyeh in Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, that's translated for Eheyeh as I am, okay, is in general all ten of the Sephirot. That's the supernal form of God. That's what's going to be reflected. Okay? Is the supernal form and image of God. It's the ten Sephirot. More particularly, it's its head or crown. Or in Hebrew, panim, the face. Hapanim, the face of God. It's the face and the head upon which one positions the crown. Keter, the crown most high. Keter Elyon. Okay, so the first occurrence of Eheyeh is the source of the image. It's the source from which the image comes. And in particular, it's the light that is coming from Eheyeh. From the from the entire Godhead, the supernal form and body of God, which is the ten Sephirot, and this light that's coming from the supernal form and body of God, the ten Sephirot, the ten holy Sephirot, is not reflected light. This isn't light coming from some other source that reflects off these ten Sephirot. This is light that is coming out of the ten Sephirot. Now remember before when I was telling you that the ten Sephirot are vessels made of light and filled with light. So there's an external light that represents the light that's emanated from the surfaces of the vessels themselves, of the ten Sephirot. But there's also an inner light. That's the outer light. Then there's the inner light that represents the essence of each one of the ten holy Sephirot. And the quality of the light in each one of these is different. Why? Because each one of these ten Sephirot represents a different attribute or quality of God. Okay. Now, it's the combination of those two forms of light, the outer and the inner forms of light for each one of the ten Sephirot, that's the source of the light. So it's an emanated light. It's an original source of light into this world. Okay, the absolute origin of everything, including of light, even this light, which is the light of the revealed God, is Ein Sof, the hidden God, the transcendent eternal God. But right now, we can't see that God's image because of the very definition of the word. De facto is of the de facto definition, or let's put it just the surface definition of the word, Ein Sof is without end, and it's the hidden God. That's what transcendent means. The unrevealed, or the concealed God versus the revealed God. We can only see the form, the supernal form, an image of the God who has revealed himself to us. And that is, in this statement, Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, he is telling Moses, I am. Remember, he said this in response to Moses' question, when Moses said, and who shall I tell the Israelites what is the name of their God? And the revealed God here says, Ahaya, Asher Ahaya, I am. I am their God. I am the Lord Most High. That's what I am. The I am are the two words that precede all kinds of statements by God throughout the Bible. I am the Lord. There is no other. I am the Redeemer. There is no other. I am your Savior. There is no other. I am the God of Israel. Yeah, I mean, there are multiple instances of where God says, I am, and basically you can sum them all up as being different ways of expressing the God of Israel, of the Israelites, of the children of Jacob, and always it's preceded by the word Ahaya, I am. I am. Okay? So that's the source of light, the revealed God. God is revealing himself to Moses first, and then afterwards to all of us in the form of the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, the ten diagram of the ten holy sephirot. All right. So that's the function of the first occurrence of the word Ahaya in this palindrome composed of three words. And we find, indeed, we find a scripture in that talks about this. The 104th Psalm, verse 2, says, He covers himself with light as a garment and stretches out the heavens like a screen. He covers himself with light as a garment. Okay, this is the Godhead that's being talked about here, the ten holy sephirot. The light that is emanated from both the combination of the inner and the outer light of each one of the ten sephirot is the light that is the garment that that covers the essence of God. And then the second part, he says, and stretches out the heavens like a screen. Stretches out the heavens like a screen. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Okay, now what's the reflected image? We've discussed, remember, those three things: the source of light, the reflected image, and the linking interface that defines the relationship. Okay, so we've just discussed the source of light in this sentence. Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya. Okay, the reflected image is the second Ahaya. And who is that? Well, you'll say that's the reflected image of God. But remember I said in all mirrors there's a reversal of the image? Okay, well, that reflected image is that second Ahaya is man. It's God reflected from the lowest of all the worlds. God who is in the highest of the supernal worlds, Keter Elyon, sees himself in reverse, reflected as his image is reflected in the form of man who inhabits and occupies the lowest of all worlds, the world of Asiya. That's the lowest of the supernal worlds. And the physical temporal world is not even in Asiya. It's below that. It's called the universe or the cosmos. Called the world. Our world. Okay? So what God is seeing is God, who's in the highest supernal world, is seeing his reflection in the form of man who occupies the lowest of the world, looking back. So it's just exactly like in a mirror. It's reflected, but it's a reversal of the form. God, who is totally spiritual, is reflected in man, who is mostly physical, only partially spiritual. Okay? The linking interface that defines this relationship between Ahaya and Ahaya, between God and man, what is that? Well, first of all, and let me just read this here, this reflected image. This is borne out, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Okay, so we have the source of light being the upper Ahaya, and the reflected image being the lower or latter Ahaya, and that's man reflected from the lower physical world. Okay, now the linking interface, the actual dividing plane, okay, the mirror, this is the veil, okay, between the two, okay, stretches out. Remember what Psalms 104:2 says? He covers himself with light as a garment and stretches out the heavens like a screen. In other words, God has made himself. Ein Sof, the concealed God, has manifest himself in the form of the revealed God, which he covers with light as a garment. So that means that he has made the ten sefirot, the ten attributes of God, and covered those with light as a garment. And then the second thing he has done is he has stretched out the heavens like a screen. This is in essence the mirror. This is a veil. What is a screen? A screen is something that's put between two people, and it blocks out vision from one to the side to the other. So God has put the heavens, which another word for that is the sky, between us and him. And it functions like a screen. He can see us through it. It's like a one-way mirror. We can't see him through it. Light is reflected back to us from that, through the diffusion, the refraction of the light that comes in through the dust particles in our atmosphere. And it makes this, in the daytime, it makes this blue sky, which is opaque, and we can't see anything on the other side. So when God is looking at us in the form of the light, when he's standing before the mirror, it's daytime, and we can't see him, but he can see us. At night, when he's not there, we can see where God stands in the heavens among the stars. And the stars, of course, are, each star has an angel that attends it. So we're looking at the lowest second lowest level, the world of Yetzirah, the angelic world, when we look at the stars. Okay, so this linking interface is in the sentence, Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, is Asher, the word Asher, the condition of blessedness. Remember I told you earlier that Asher means blessing or happiness, blessed or happy. Okay, so Asher is a condition of blessedness. And it's what forms the bond or relationship between the source of the light and the reflected image, between God and man. It's both a separating curtain and a linking bond. So it both separates and connects man and God. Job 38:18 says, "Can you like him?" And this is God speaking to Job. "Can you like him," referring to himself, "spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten mirror?" And so here we have an out-and-out direct reference to the sky as a mirror. Can you, like him, spread out the sky? And look at that. That's the same language as in Psalms 104:2. Stretches out the heavens like a screen. And here in Job 38:18, it's spread out the sky, which is strong as a molten mirror. The Earth's atmosphere, as I said, it's a blanket with which we cover ourselves and reflects the light of the sun during the day and radiates heat back to the Earth at night. The sky is the source of the rain, which renews and enlivens all life on Earth. Thus, it's the instrument through which God creates and blesses man. And that's why a share is what we're talking about here. Aheya, Asher, Aheya. I am, blessed am I. Okay? But as I said, it's also the screen which separates us from God. It's the medium through which the mutual blessings, and here's the linking part I was talking about, this conduit that forms a relationship. It's the medium through which the mutual blessings of God and man are transmitted. Okay, and then finally, this Aheya Asher Aheya is also like a mirror in that you have the supernal in the form of, not right now, Mordecai, please don't private message me while I'm teaching. I'd be glad to stay after class if you will and answer any questions or take your comments. In any event, this Aheya Asher Aheya also can be taken as a cipher or reference to the divine soul, the Ruach, and then the Neshama that mankind receives and is bound to the physical body, which is the second Aheya, through the Zelem, the astral body or image that's represented by Asher. And I've taught on that before. But so here we have just another version of this. Those two ways are two different ways of looking at Aheya, Asher, Aheya as being a verbal mirror. Now, Carl Gustav Jung, who I've talked about before, a great early 20th century psychologist from Switzerland, summed up what I've just been discussing. And that is our relationship to God being one of blessing and being being the image in the mirror, the image of God reflected in the mirror. He said, "Man is the mirror which God holds up before him, or the sense organ with which he apprehends his being." So what he's saying is that we've been made in God's image. And when God sees us, when he looks upon us, he sees his own reflection. In the mirror of what? In the mirror of mutual blessing. Now, in our second to last year, I began to develop more fully the meaning and implications contained in this statement. Briefly, I explained that Genesis 1:26 tells us that we've been made not only in God's image, but in his likeness. Okay? So I've been talking about image, and now I'm going to talk a little bit about his likeness, because we are made in two similarities to God, according to Genesis 1:26. Not just his image, but also his likeness. Okay, what does this mean? It means that we means two different things, and I'll summarize the first one, hopefully, because I've taught it before. I don't want to dwell too long on it. So the first thing it means is that we share all of God's attributes. That is, all of the personality traits that are summarized in the 10 holy sephirot of the Etz Chaim, the tree of life. So if you want to know what God's like, know yourself. Your own moods and traits are a reflection of God's likeness. Those that are positive, such as loving kindness, mercy, loyalty, a desire for peace and harmony, stability, God loves these. and he encourages these in us. But those that are negative, anger, indifference to the suffering of others, selfishness, hatred, greed, these were attributes that God cast off from himself with the act of creation. He stripped them from himself like the skin of a snake when it molts, and cast them into the world where they have come into us. And he did this knowingly and on purpose, so that we could transform them from the evil that they are into that which is good, which is what God wants. In the end, God wants perfect goodness to be shared with us. That cannot happen until we have transformed the evil that's in the world, the universe, and in ourselves, because we have two natures. The sages teach us that we have two natures. We have the urge to do evil, the Yetzer Hara, and we have the urge to do good, the Yetzer Hatov. So there's evil within us, just as there was evil in God. And you can see the evil and the darkness and the shadow, that as Jung talks about it. He talks about the archetypes. If you have ever read Jung, you know this. He talks about the different archetypes, the anima, the animus, the shadow. Well, that's what he's talking about here, is the shadow. God has a shadow. All human beings have a shadow self. That's the part of us that is evil, that does evil things, that lusts after the wives and the property of our neighbor, that falls prey to temptation. That's the shadow of ourselves, and this came from God. God has a shadow of himself. If you look at the diagram of the 10 holy sephirot, you'll see that there's three columns. There's a right-hand column, a middle column, and a left-hand column. The left-hand column, which is referred to as the left side of God, also known as the Sitra Akra, the other side, that's the column of darkness. That's where anger, retribution, wrath, rage come from. Justice without mercy. Strict justice is another word for that. Strictness. Restriction. Restriction is brought on from the feminine side of God at the top of the left-hand column, Binah, the Divine Mother. The Divine Mother is what restricts the Divine Father, which is Chokmah at the head of the right-hand column. So Binah, understanding her partsuf, her hidden personality, the name of that partsuf, is Ima, Mother. And that particular sephira is a sephira of restriction. It's holding back, limiting. It's the part of God that limits. And Hod, at the bottom of that column, what it does is it denies life. Netzah on the right side is called the gate of life. Hod on the, excuse me, on the right side, Netzah on the right side is the gate of life. Hod on the left side is the gate of death. It's the side that diminishes, while on Netzah on the right side adds to or increases. Okay, so that's God's shadow. That's God's shadow. And we, being made in the image of God, have that shadow within us. Okay, but it's our job to transform within each of us individually that which is evil, that left-hand side, that Sitra Akra, that shadow inside us, into that which is good. God wants us to fight against and overcome evil and ultimately transform that evil into good so that it no longer exists in us, in our persons, even as a shadow side of us. He wants that purged from us. He wants us to purify and perfect ourselves. That's our collective avodah, the perfection of the world. Tikkun, which means spiritual repair. Tikkun olam, repair of the world, as well as our individual avodah, as I was just speaking about, the perfection of the self. Okay? And I talked about how we do that. We do that by imitating God. Imitatio Dei, the imitation of God in Latin. Likes attract each other. So the more we become like or in God's likeness, the more God sends His holy light down into us. And the more wise, humble, loving, compassionate, strong, and persistent we become, the more victories that God gives to us to experience. The more successful we become. God tells us to obey His commandments that we might lead good lives and lives without want. And He tells us this. He promises us this. So the more like light that we bring into ourselves by becoming less dark, diminishing the influence and strength of our shadow selves, the more we become like the right-hand side of God, the more we increase God's light within us, and therefore the more strength we have and the more victories in life that God gives us to experience. Also, the closer God lets us draw near to Him, we're not as repugnant and repulsive as we were before. We become more worthy of devakut, cleaving or communion with God. And as I mentioned before, there is a handbook written by Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, a 16th century great Kabbalist in Safed, what's now northern Israel. And it's called Tomer Devora, the Palm Tree of Deborah. And he says in this, in the very first sentences, he says, "It is proper for man to imitate his Creator, resembling Him in both likeness and image." In both likeness and image. There's those two elements, okay? The image and the likeness. "According to the secret of the supernal form." There it is, linking it to the diagram of the 10 holy sephirot. See, this isn't just me making this stuff up, or I just thought one day, gee, this sounds neat. Okay? No, this is all stuff that I've been taught over many years of study by my master, by my teacher, who is a great Kabbalist, who learned it from his teacher. In fact, I'll tell you right now, my teacher was Rebbe Yaakov Leib HaKohen. He's a Kohen priest, something you can't aspire to. You have to be born to that. You can only be that according to a birthright. An unbroken line of male descendants from Aharon, Moshe's older brother. Okay? His teacher, he learned his Kabbalah from his teacher, who was, and I always have trouble remembering this name, and let's see, I had this written down here. James Kirsch, just very serendipitous that I found where I'd written it down. James Kirsch. James Kirsch was the master, the teacher, of Reb Yaakov Leib HaKohen for a six-year period in the 70s or 80s, 1970s or 80s. And James Kirsch, in case any of you don't know, or for those of you who think that that's a familiar-sounding name, well, it should be. That is the person who was the first Jewish member of Carl Gustav Jung's inner circle. And he is the Jew who taught Jung about the Kabbalah. Jung did not know much about the Kabbalah until James Kirsch, a Jew, became his mentor in that subject area. Now, this is not to diminish the genius of Jung. Believe me, I would never do that. But what I'm telling you is that James Kearse was the first Jew in Jung's inner circle, and he was the Jew, he was the after he had learned what Jung had to teach him after many years about Jungian psychology, about the relationship between God and man, as it's expressed in Jung's great magnus opus, his great work, which is The Answer to Job, An Answer to Job is the name of that book, then he authorized James Kearse to go to the United States and to found a Jungian institute, a Jungian center, where he would teach other psychologists about Jungian analysis. And you've got to remember, Jungian analysis and all of Jungian's techniques are based upon a religious or theological background. In fact, Jung said, I have never worked on a client or had a patient or a client in which the source of their problems, and he's referring to psychological problems here, was not religious in nature. So there's something to think about. All of our ailments, even if they're physical, according to Jung, come from a malady that afflicts, a religious malady that afflicts the relationship between the ego and the self. That is, between ego being man, physical man, and the self, with a capital S, being God, the God who's within us, the Imago Dei. Okay, so anyway, these things I've learned in a tradition. That's what a tradition is. It's a line of succession of one teacher in a circle of students, and then that circle of students become teachers and get their own circle of students, and it's passed down through time, generation after generation. So we could look at it this way, in terms of Jungian studies, or knowing about what Jung teaches, learning what Jung has to tell us about the relationship between God and man and how that plays out in the psychology of human beings, the inner self of human beings. Well, then James Kearse was the son of Carl Jung. And I'm just talking about a relationship like a father-son relationship, okay, which is common to do in terms of esoteric mysticism. And in fact, the students will often call, as I did, I called my teacher, referred to him as Abba, father, Hebrew for father. Okay, so if we look at this line of succession, of which I'm on the tail end of right now, we go, there's Jung, who was the father, then there was James Kearse, who was the son of Jung, then there was my father, my Abba, my teacher, Reb Yaakov Leib HaKohen, who was the grandson of Jung, and then there's me, Reb Yaniel, Yeshua, Nesher ben Yaakov Leib. Okay, and I'm the great grandson of Jung in the line of succession from Jung. That's where I'm at. I'm the third generation removed from Jung in a direct line going to Jung. So I don't just make these things up. I don't just think, oh, gee, this would be good. It's not like I'm interpreting scripture like I would interpret a piece of literature and try to find, you know, references in the literature or allusions to some other work or other piece of literature. That's not how it works. What I'm teaching you is what has been taught to me. And then the natural extensions that come from that. And then also I'm teaching you what's been revealed to me by the Bat Kol, the voice of the daughter, the voice of the all. Because there, believe it or not, there still is revelation in the form of the lowest form of prophecy, which is Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Inspiration, divine inspiration, okay? Okay, as in other words, what I teach is mostly what I've been taught that was received by the Kabbalists to come before me, and then a part of it has been revealed to me through divine inspiration, which is another term for Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Okay. And I mentioned before that this book, let me finish the quote from it. It is proper for man to imitate his creator, resembling him in both likeness and image, according to the secret of the supernal form. Because the chief supernal image and likeness is in deeds, it's not just a diagram on a piece of paper, little circles and lines drawn on a piece of paper. That's just the outward symbology of it, to let us understand it, to comprehend it in our frail, puny human minds. But the chief supernal image and likeness is in deeds. In other words, what God does. God didn't just think it'd be nice to create. God created. God takes an interest in the affairs of his creation. Okay, so he goes on to say, a human resemblance merely in bodily appearance and not in deeds debases that form. Of the man who resembles the form in body alone, it is said, a handsome form whose deeds are ugly. For what value can there be in man's resemblance to the supernal form in bodily limbs if his deeds have no resemblance to those of his creator? Consequently, it is proper for man to imitate the acts of the supernal crown, which are the 13 highest attributes of mercy. All right, that's Tomer Devorah. That's a quote from Tomer Devorah, part 1, verses 1 and 2. Okay, and that book is available either off of Amazon, if you want to purchase it. You can get all the commentary on it. I think it might have been Arya Kaplan who translated it and did the commentaries on it. It doesn't matter whoever did it. If you wish to purchase it, you can do that. Or you can get it for free at this online link that I'm going to copy in right now, post on the room. Okay, that's www.digital-brilliance.com/KAB/Deborah/C112.htm. Well, anyway, I will be posting this for the rebroadcast as well. So you can get a copy of it free there, and I urge you all to do so. It's incredibly easy reading, and it's wonderful, and it's beautiful, and it's inspiring. It will inspire you and tell you how to do what you need to do to bring yourself closer to God and to bring God into you. All right, I'm going to stop right here. We will take up the next time and talk about what else it means to have been made in God's image and what it means when God looks at us and sees a reflection of himself. Okay? And we'll talk about that. And as I said before, it's something critically important, so you want to underline it in your notes and your memory. And just as a teaser, I'll just give you the answer of what it is. We cannot encounter God face to face. So the fact that that we have to see God in a mirror, or that God sees us in a mirror, means that we cannot encounter God face to face, just as Moshe did not encounter him face to face ever. And I'll discuss that in detail in our next meeting. And I've already gone on too long, so I apologize for that. So in the meantime, this is going to be rebroadcast at 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific time. And our next, and it'll also be saved as an MP3 file on our website at www.beitshemtov.org. That's beitshemtov.org. And you can go there and click on audio archives, and it'll take you there, and it'll be the topmost lecture. They always go on the top. The most recent lectures are on the top. Okay, and next time we meet will be next Wednesday at the same time. Hope to see you there. If you have friends or relations, and actually that's everyone, because we're all related, as the Lakota teach, the Plains Indians teach. We are all related. Okay, Mitake Oyasin. We are all related. But anyway, bring your relations. Encourage them to come if they're interested at all in how to achieve a true individual one-on-one relationship with God. And that's what all of this teaching is about. Okay, so in the meantime, we will meet on Wednesday. Don't forget to remember God at least twice each day. Go from strength to strength. Be well. Be strong. Zagesund.